Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's come to the Word of God this morning. Please turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Our message this morning is a prepared body. We've been dealing with the body of Christ, or the church of Jesus Christ as expressed as a body, and we've been dealing over these weeks with the healthy function of the church, because not everything that calls itself a church or is a church is operating or functioning in a healthy manner. But we do want to function in a healthy manner. We not only want to be healthy members, we want to be a healthy church, and a church that God considers healthy, not what man considers normal. I don't want to fall into what man considers normal, or even what the church of this generation considers normal. I want to go back to what's normal in Bible terms. This is normal. This is a healthy church. What we find in the book of Acts, the Gospels, and the Epistles, that is a normal church, and that's what we're to be, saints. Don't ever settle for church any other way. Don't dare bring this thing. We are a supernatural product of the mind of God. That's what the body of Christ is. We have come out of the eternal mind and the eternal purpose of God. God planned the church to operate, not just universally, but uniquely, individually, in each community or town or village where the church of Christ is found gathered around Christ. It has come out of the eternal mind and heart and power of God. Since the church isn't an organization, it's not an institution, it is a supernatural creation birthed out of the power of God. And if we ever make it a man-made thing, a carnal thing, or a thing that operates according to the mind of man, by the manipulations of man, the Spirit of God will depart. I want to keep God here in this place. Amen. I don't want to quench the Spirit of God away. I want the Holy Spirit to be here in such a way that we are going to be a body raised up by Him, not for our purpose, but for His purpose and for His will. As we come to read the scriptures, let's just pray together. Let's open our hearts. Let's ask Him just to be here to meet with us. We want God to speak to us this morning. Lord God, we pray for Your word this morning. Lord God, will You speak to us? I pray, O God, will You enlarge our vision? Will You enlarge our mind, our hearts? Will You enlarge our step under us? Lord God, we don't want to limit the Holy One of Israel. We're not trying to bring You down to where we're at. We're looking that Your Holy Spirit quicken us, revive us, stir us. And Lord God, that You'd raise up a church out of the desolation of this city, out of the sin, the degradation, the corruption of man's mind. Lord God, the filth of religion, the idolatry of this city. My God, I'm asking that You'd raise up a functioning body, a body that can truly be called the body of Christ, redeemed by the blood, sanctified by the word, filled and led by the Spirit of God, built on the foundation of Christ alone. Lord God, seeking to find and to fulfill the eternal purpose of God. My God, will You raise up such a body right across this city in Jesus' name. Lord God, as we come to Your word now, bless Your word. Break it, open it, reveal it, and grant it unto us. Give us substance that shall never be lost in our walk with You. I'm asking this morning that You'd really, Lord God, speak to us as a church and open up something of that purpose and why You've called us in this church, why You've gathered us in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews chapter 10, my message of prepared body. I've just felt over these days in such a real way. This is a word for us. I know all these words are for us, but this is a word for us. You know, a man without a purpose is a terrible thing. It's terrible to be living your life and to have no sense of purpose. But you do have a purpose, and the Church of Jesus Christ has a purpose. We're not here aimlessly. We are here with a divine, eternal reason. There is an eternal purpose behind why we're gathered here. And I want us to see something of it this morning as we come to the Word of God. I believe God has got a message here that we might truly understand very specifically as a church as Limerick City Church, why he has birthed this church, why it has been brought forth. I want you to see this morning. I want you to understand it. I want the Spirit of God to reveal it to your heart, why we've been gathered as a church here, for what end and for what purpose. Let's read Hebrews chapter 10, a prepared body. Hebrews 10, reading from verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast no pleasure. Then said I, lo, and this is a prophetic scripture fulfilled in Christ. Then said I, it's Christ speaking, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, O God. And when he said, sacrifice and offerings and burnt offerings and offerings for sin, thou wouldest not, neither hadst thou pleasure therein, which are offered by the law. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. A prepared body. Verse 7 again. Then said I come in the volume of the book. Verse 5. But a body hast thou prepared me. We're dealing with the healthy functioning of the church. In this message, I want to speak on a prepared body. A prepared body. These scriptures we have just read are prophecies that from the Psalms written by David. They were prophetic concerning the coming of Jesus Christ and all that he would fulfill in God preparing for him a body that he would live out the will of God and the word of God through. There was going to be a body, a physical, natural body that would be in the earth, but it would be produced in the will of God, that God could be revealed through. Christ was going to be revealed in a physical body. In these verses, it's revealed that God had no pleasure in all the sacrifices and all the burnt offerings for sin that came by way of the law. The most that the law can do in a church is bring offerings, trying to petition, trying to make up for sins. Well, Lord, I'm going to do this, or I'll give you this. God isn't interested in the fulfillment of the law. He's not interested in outward sacrifices. Well, I'll give you this, Lord. Well, I'm going to sacrifice this for you. Well, I'll give you a little token of my time. He is not interested in that. God is looking for something greater. He's looking for a body. He's looking for a life that's laid down and given to him that he might express himself through. This is God's will for the Church of Jesus Christ. Prepared body. That's what the church is. That's what the body of Christ is meant to be. A prepared body. In these verses we see that Christ had a body prepared for him in the very womb of Mary. We are told in Luke chapter 1 concerning this work. You see, if God can find somebody who's willing, who's ready, who desires to be caught up in this, then he'll produce a body. Can he find someone like Mary with that heart? If he can find individuals like that, then he's going to produce a body. If he can find a little lady like Mary, listen to what it says, Luke 1:38. And Mary said to the angel, behold the handmaiden of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And then the angel departed from her. Just before this, he says in verse 35, he begins to minister to her, to reveal a plan of God, that God is going to conceive within her something holy. And he says in verse 35, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. This is how it's going to be done. Mary can't do anything. Mary can't bring forth a body for the Son of God. She cannot do it. It is an utter impossibility. But what the angel is saying, Here, God has a plan. He's always had it from eternity. In the eternal counsels of God, God had a plan to prepare a body. And that body would be the very manifestation of the Son of God in the earth. God was preparing a body that Christ could live in and fulfill the will of God through. This was all a plan of God. What does Mary say when she hears this? I can imagine the shock of that young lady. Just a young lady, but a godly lady. She desired the Lord. You see, God bypassed the hundreds of generations. God bypassed many families. But in this little lady, this young girl, she was only a teenager. That's all she was. In her, he found such a heart that said, "Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord." That term handmaid means a slave, a servant, or a bondservant. It's someone that through love has become a slave of the one they love. They said, "I am absolutely dedicated to you. I will do anything for you. What you say is my will. I'm not here for me. I'm not looking to fulfill something for God. I'm not trying to bring about a Christian life. I'm not saying I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, and I want you to bless me." Here is a young teenage girl who says, "Lord, I am your servant. You can do anything with me. You have me totally. You've got my attention. You've got my ear. And I'm here as a servant for you. I'm here for you. You're not there for me." See, God, if he can find that, will produce himself a body. But can he find such a heart, church? Can he find it in the church of Jesus Christ? The church of our generation is dysfunctional. Now, what do I mean by a dysfunctional body? If you were to look up the term, and it's a medical term, a dysfunctional body means a malfunctioning organ or a structure in the body. In other words, members in that body malfunction. They don't function in the way they're ordained to. Your hand doesn't function in the right way. What the mind tells it to do, it doesn't do. What the mind tells the foot to do, it doesn't do. Or some of your internal organs, they are not operating for the purpose they were created. This is a malfunctioning body. It is a hand doing what it wants to do. Or a part of your internals functioning in a different way or an abnormal way. That is a malfunctioning body or church. It is any disturbance or abnormality in the function of an organ or a part of that body. In not performing its normal purpose. It's not there serving the head. It's not there serving the body. Now it is standing apart, taking on its own manner of living and acting in rebellion to the body. That is a malfunctioning body. Have you ever seen someone with a disease? Have you seen some of those diseases that come to afflict the body? The body isn't functioning right. It is not acting in a right way. It is not acting in unity and as a united member functioning below the head. You see, in the church of our generation, we've seen the church become everything. It's become man-centered. It's there for man, by man, and man is manifested through it. You go to some churches, all you hear is the voice of men. All you see is a display of man. You see pride, you see arrogance, you see selfishness. Men are self-centered there. Everything revolves around man. That is a malfunctioning church. That is a church out of order with the head. It is not operating in the right way with the head. You go to church and it's a circus, or it's departed from the word, or all you hear is jokes and entertainment. It is a malfunctioning church. It's a body that isn't operating correctly. They may be born again believers who gather in the same place at the same time, yet they have no understanding or perception or revelation about the purpose of the body of Christ. I believe most true churches Most true believers gather like that. They've got no sense of the body of Christ. They say, I'm born again. He died for me. That's why I came. Now I'm going to go do something for God. I hope he blesses me. Lord, here's my plans. I want you to bless me. That is most Christians today in this generation. And I want to tell you, most churches think that they're here for God to bless them. Well, Lord, now we want you to forgive our sins. Now, Lord, we want you to bless us. Now, Lord, we want you to fulfill all our dreams, our desires, our ambition. Lord, send me a wife. Lord, send me a husband. Lord, send me a job. Lord, do this for me. Lord, I want you to keep me happy. I want you to do this for me, and I'll be very happy. And now we're the church, the body of Christ. I want to tell you, that isn't the body of Christ. That is a malfunctioning, dysfunctioning church. That isn't what it's about, church. That isn't. But Mary, this young teenage girl, had a revelation that here she is, a handmaid of the Lord. Listen to what she says. Be it unto me according to thy word. In other words, all that she is going to be, all that happens within her, is the product of the Word of God. It's coming out of the mind of God, out of the eternity of God. It didn't originate in her heart or mind. It's not according to her mind. She is saying, Lord, let it be according to your Word. You're revealing something unto me. This is too great for me. All I am is a little teenager in the middle of the nation of Israel. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. All I am is in a village that nobody thinks anything good can come out of. I'm in an insignificant village in the land of Israel, and yet you come to me and you're revealing a most unbelievable vision, the fulfilling of all prophecies of all the Old Testament scriptures, and you're saying you're going to do it through me, that you're going to birth forth something that's very holy. You're going to bring forth a body through me. Now, how is this young little girl going to comprehend this? Well, she didn't have to sing. Neither did she have the power to do it. Neither did she start, right, let's see where we're going to start now. Let's start a committee. Let's start doing this. Let's start advertising. Let's begin the show. She done nothing of the sort. All God needed was a little teenage girl without ambition, without plans, without strategies, without any experience, without any know-how. But what she had was a heart before God. I am the handmaid of the Lord, and let it be according to the word of God in my life. Saints, is that your desire as we gather? Is that the longing of your life? Have you yet been gripped by the word of God saying, not my will, but your will be done? We're not here as another church. We're not a church that are going to have all our demands met, but we are going to be a church that meets the demands of God. I'm tired of churchianity. I'm tired of game playing. I'm tired of the circuses. I'm tired of churches being organized according to the mind of man. I do want to see a church raised up here that's going to be for him alone. Lord, what is your will? What would you have us to be? We may not be great in the eyes of man. We may not be anything in the eyes of man. You may not get all your ambitions fulfilled. But what I'm asking you, does your heart burn within you this morning that he might fulfill his desire in the midst of us? Listen to what it says in Psalm 139 and verse 15. And it's speaking about the conception and the growth and the bringing forth of a child in the womb of any woman. Listen to what it says. My substance, and this is David speaking, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret. See, that's where it happens, saints. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Talking about the womb. Verse 16. Then thine eyes did see my substance. There was something real there of a body being prepared within the womb. A real body that was going to have someone live through it. It says, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect. It wasn't fully formed. It was only in a very small form within that womb. If you ever see the pictures of the birthing of that child, the conception, the coming forth, it doesn't look like much. Oh, how small, delicate. Can that become a man or a woman? Can that become a fully functioning, standing, speaking, running, shouting person that's going to live a full life? Yes, this is where it begins. But David says, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned. Notice what he's saying here. God is recording every single member of that body. Here is a body being prepared in secret away from the eyes of man. God is preparing to bring forth a body. Who is it? It's King David. God is literally, he's saying, you did this with me. You seen me in the womb. You seen all my members one by one. You wrote each member in your book. Do you know that God does that with this church? He has written every member in his book. He's producing it in secret, away from the hands of man, away from the actions of man. Can you imagine? What are they trying to do now? They're choosing the hair color and the eye color through all the technology of this hour. Do you want a male? Do you want a female? Do you want them tall? Do you want them short? Do you want them fat? Do you want them thin? What do you want in your baby? We'll make sure we engineer it. That is the mind of man. But that's got in the church. We are going to bring forth the church. We are going to do this. This is our idea. This is what it's going to be like. But where is that cry of Mary? Lord, here's your handmaiden. Just do it according to your word. I'm tired of the gimmicks. I'm tired of the false revivals. I'm tired of people trying to make the church like the early church. There's a thousand of those. The motive might be good. The desire sincere, and yet it comes to nothing because it never came out of the heart of God. God is seeking for a church that's birthed out of his heart. It's produced in secret. He marks up in his book, oh, it's not perfect yet. It's just a small embryo, a small something that nobody would hardly notice. It's yet imperfect, but he's noting all the members, writing it in his book. Every member of a real body is significant to God. Don't you dare underestimate what God thinks of a church. But he goes further and he says, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. There's a work being produced, a constant, continual, week by week. You may think nothing happens in a week, or nothing happens in a month. Hear the word of God. You read the Bible, you pray. What is happening? Say something is happening. Amen. Although you don't see it, although you're not conscious of it. It's like a young boy growing in a home. You don't think he's growing much, you just kept feeding him. Mommy, you just kept feeding Gary. Another meal time, morning, afternoon, evening. Just keep feeding him. He's not growing much here. Pat, go and measure him again this morning. Can you imagine mommy asking daddy every day, go and measure him. Is he growing any? I tell you, you go crazy like that. All you do, just keep feeding. Just know. Just keep coming to the word of God. Keep coming to prayer. Keep seeking for Christ. And something is growing. It's not of your creation. It's not of your mind. It's not for you. God is bringing forth a body for his own will and his own purpose. Notice that it says in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Here is Christ, the Son of God. Mary prepared him a body in her womb. He had to have a body. God isn't interested in outward religion. He is looking for a body. He's always looked for a body that he can inhabit and live his life through. Saints, in this city, he's not interested in religion. He's not interested in you going doing something religious again. He doesn't want it. He's saying, give me a body. I want a body of my own creation that I can live my life through in this city. This city doesn't need another church. This city needs a body, a living body raised up by Christ that he can live in and live his life through. We read in Hebrews chapter 10, a body you have prepared for me. This is the desire of Christ. Oh, Father, that you would prepare me a body. Oh, Father, give me a body. Not sacrifices, but a body that I can live in. And through that body, I will do your will. It says in verse 7 of Hebrews, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Christ was saying, here in my physical body, I am going to live out a life according to the Word of God. Everything the Old Testament says, every book, every prophecy, every command, every promise, I am going to live it out in this body. This is the desire of Christ. Since in the body of Christ, we are to live out the Word of God. It is a body conformed to the Word of God. It's a body that's come forth to do the will of God. This is the reason for the church of Jesus Christ. Notice that with Christ, we don't see him much over a period of 30 years. We see his conception, his birth. He disappears from sight. In a period of 30 years, we only see him once at the age of 12 years old. But it says in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature. That body wasn't ready to do the miracles. That body was not ready for ministry. That body was not ready for revival. That body is going to spend 30 years of growth. 30 years growing in obscurity, in a hidden secret place. That body has got to take shape. That body has got to gain wisdom. That body has got to gain strength. That body, I tell you, that voice is going to break. Do you realize Christ's voice broke? Got up into those teen years, voice begins to break. Yeah, preacher's being birthed. A preacher's getting ready. Wasn't ready in those earlier years, but now he's getting a voice prepared, ready, made ready. Saints, do not despair of what we haven't yet seen. Because for 30 years, here was a young boy being raised in his home. Here was a body being raised up that was going to touch the nation and change the whole direction of the nation. And yet grown in obscurity, hidden, no miracles. No revival, no preaching, nobody noticing him. And yet this is God's body for the fulfilling of his will. What did he do for 30 years? He fulfilled the will of God. What did he do for 30 years? His whole life, his thinking, actions, words were all conformed to the word of God. Behold, I come in the volume of the book. Behold, it is written of me. Here he is, a young man, growing, emerging, preparing, because this body is going to make a difference in the nation. This body, the body of Christ, will make a difference. Look at the religion on the left and the right. Look at the sin that's come up. 400 years, no prophet. 400 years silence, no word from heaven. But here is a body being made ready that God is going to manifest himself through. It says concerning in Luke chapter 1 and verse 16, concerning John the Baptist. This was his cousin, 6 months older than him. Do you remember both conceived at the same time? You see, God is now saying, I'm going to do something. I am going to work. I have been silent, but I want to assure you I am about to do something. But what is it going to be through? It's going to be through a body, a prepared people being made ready. It says in Luke 1:16, and many of the children shall he turn to the Lord their God, speaking of John the Baptist, and he shall go before him, that is Christ, in the spirit and the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Notice that. What is this ministry that John is going to bring forth? It's going to turn hearts of the fathers to the sons and the sons to the fathers. It's a unifying of hearts. It's the bringing together of a people that were once broken and divided, never to be reconciled again. Haven't we all seen things? Of a father and a son and the relationship broken and it may never get mended. Oh, what heartache in families are when there's a break in that family. But here he says John is going to do such a work in the heart. This ministry of John is going to unite the hearts of the father and the children. There's going to come a great healing and a great uniting. He goes further. And he says the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. John's ministry is going to turn many disobedient people and bring them over to the wisdom of those who have been justified by faith. God is going to do a work. Notice what he says. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. All of John's ministry was to make ready a people for God to do a work. Do you realize that's God's greatest work? Do you realise that's the work of God in this nation of Ireland and in this city of Limerick? God wants to prepare a people. But do you know what? It's a dysfunctional church in this hour. Every man doing what's right in his own eyes. Church is not governed by the word of God. Men with their own convictions and plans. Men telling God what he is going to do in their midst. All of this going on in the name of Christ. Men turning the church into a circus or into a pub or into entertainment or making it contemporary with flashing lights. All of this going on. I tell you, saints, that is not a prepared church. It's not a prepared body. John's ministry was meant to make ready a people. Listen, prepared for the Lord. Who is it we're meant to be prepared for? It's for the Lord. Not just individuals, but a body of people, a whole people that are made ready for the Lord. Not for man, not for ministries, not for denominations. God has always looked for a prepared people. This word prepared, it actually means to prepare thoroughly by external equipment. It means to construct, to create, to build, or to furnish. It's talking about a work through the ministry of John of building a people out of all the mess of religion. They've had the Pharisees, they've had the Sadducees, they've had all manners of priests, prophets, and temple worship. They've got it all in Jerusalem. But here comes a man preaching only for 6 months. That's all it takes. 6 months to prepare a people. What's he going to do in his preaching of repentance? And of the baptism of fire? What's he doing? He's making ready a people. He preached for 6 months. Nobody got baptized in the Holy Spirit. No one. Not a one. He's preaching, behold, there's one coming. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Nobody received in his meetings. Not one got baptized in fire. None of them did. Preaching, preaching, preaching every day by the Jordan. Not one of them was baptized by fire. So was it a dead message? Oh no. God is preparing a people to receive of it. He preached the Lamb of God. He preached salvation. He preached repentance. He preached holiness of life. He preached sort your life out. He preached into the very details of men and women's hearts. What was he doing? He's building a people made ready for God. He's making ready. He's preparing thoroughly, externally, a people for the Lord. Now the word body in the New Testament is the word sona, and it actually is always singular. You never read the word in the context of the church of bodies. Many bodies. There isn't many bodies. There is only one body, singular, as far as the church goes. Internationally, there's one body of Christ. In every nation, every generation, one body. There aren't many bodies. Christ isn't going to be deformed on that day with 10 bodies and one head. It isn't going to happen. There isn't 10 bodies in our world, or 100 or 1,000. There's only one body of Jesus Christ out across the nations. One real body. And I recognize them because they're joined to the head. It's conformed to that head. So I recognize them. They are the body of Christ. I don't care about titles. I don't care who they are. But what God is looking for is a specific body prepared and made ready. In Hebrews 10 and verse 5, we read there, wherefore when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not. Jesus knew that God the Father wasn't looking another sacrifice. Wasn't just looking another sacrifice. I'll do this for you. I'm going to give you this part of my life. I won't do this and then I look for your blessing. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. I'm going to walk a long way to Jerusalem to make another blood sacrifice. I'm going to save up all year to have a big bull sacrifice and I'm going to give it all to you. And you're going to be very impressed with this. No! God wasn't interested. It's not your money, it's not your time, it's not all those things. It's not something you're going to do for him. He's looking for a life of body. And it says here, What was it? But a body hast thou prepared me. Christ said, you have prepared me a body. Now I'm ready to do your will. You gave me the body. You prepared the body. You grew the body. You raised the body up. You gave it to me supernaturally. Now I'm going to do your will. This was the whole purpose of Christ. I didn't come to do my will. And yet we have Christians who want their will. I want my way. I want to do my thing. I've got my plans. Christ never done that. The head of this body, of this church, the man who centered to it, who saved you, never had that within him. He said, not my will. He even said, I can do nothing apart from you. I do nothing unless you tell me to do it. I say nothing unless you speak it to me. I can do nothing of myself. Everything that I do comes from the Father. This body is for the will of the Father. Since this church is for the will of the Father, it's for the Lord. It's not for you. This church isn't for you. Do you get blessed? Oh, you get blessed. I hope you get encouraged. I hope you get strengthened. I hope God answers many, if not all, of your prayers. But it's not about you, saints. That prayer of Mary, be it according to your word, she was praying. She was praying. She had a heart. Oh Lord, you have your way. Saints, we need to repent if we thought he's going to revolve around us. Well, he's just going to adjust everything. In fact, he'll bring people in here to accommodate me. The next person walks in the door, it's going to be for my good. Because I'm the only one in here. A member of the body that thinks the whole body functions for them doesn't know what the body of Christ is about. All the body is here functioning just for me. Yourself or so-and-so. You need to repent and get right with God. The whole body realizes it's there for the head, for Christ. And when it's in right relationship, it's in right relationship with everybody else. But notice in Hebrews 10, the center part of this is, a body hast thou prepared me, Jesus Christ. A prepared body. This word prepared is very important in the New Testament. A prepared body. It is the Greek word katartizo. Now listen to what it means, Hartson. How it's translated elsewhere in the New Testament. It's translated as mending or mend. To be perfected, fitted, perfectly joined together, to restore or to be framed. That's what this word means. That's its full definition. It's made up of two different words. First of all, kato, which means intensive. There's an intensity of burn and action. The second word, artizo. Probably get the word art from that, artizo. It means to fit or to adapt something, to fit in place. So see with this, it's an intense working to adapt and to mould something to fit in place. This is what God is doing in the church, in the preparing of a body. What is he doing in our midst? God is here in our midst preparing a body. Saints, it's not just going to be a church. We're not just gathering here to get through every week. God wants to produce a body that he's going to live through. And he's going to do something through. Saints, it's real, it's real. We are caught up in something that come out of eternity. He has ordained the church as his body. He's looking for it. And he said, he is now preparing it for a purpose. Do you know when you're building a house, are you living in it at the same time?
No.
You build the house in order to live in. In other words, you have a purpose that you don't fulfill. You're building it to fulfill a purpose or to do a task. But you don't move in. Well, they've got the walls up, I'll move in now. No. There's a work of perfecting, of building, of bringing forth a body that you can live in. And that's what the church is, saints. We are a work in progress. God is doing something in this church. He's only begun it. He's only begun it in bringing us together. He has a purpose to raise up a body. Now why would he raise up a body? To live through. Do you realize, and believe me, you can't be the body individually. You aren't. You'll never be the body of Christ individually. There's no such thing. It's when the body comes together in different members That is the body. Why does he bring us all together? Do you realize there's a purpose as the body of Christ you can't fulfill alone? We all think, I'm in the church. Lord, what's your will for me? Hear me. You hear me this morning. What's your will for me? What are you going to do for me? Now, where do you want me to go? What do you want me to do? Who do you want me to be with? Do you know what? That is not the prayer of the body of Christ. That's a part of your individual walk, of course. And I encourage you to pray like that. But since there is something greater here, there is a prayer and a desire to say, what is your will for us? What is your purpose for us? What is the will of God for us as the body of Christ? You might have the will of God formed for you individually, but that isn't God's will for bringing together the body. This word, katartiso, it actually is used in the Greek language for setting, for the setting. It's a medical term by doctors. It's the setting back in place of a dislocated limb. It's when a joint is out of place. It's in the body. It's a part of the body. It has a function, but it's literally dislocated. If your leg's dislocated, you're not going to run this morning. I can promise you we're going to hear plenty of groaning, plenty of whimpering, plenty of crying. That's why there is so much crying in the body of Christ. They're out of place and they're crying over their pain. What they need to be is put back into place and they'll function as a member of the body. This word is also used for the mending of nets. When the nets were broken in the New Testament, we read in Matthew 4 and in Mark 1 concerning John and his brothers, his family. They had a family business, fishing. And the first time Jesus comes to young John, he's sitting there and he's fixing the nets. Can you use a broken net fishing? Have you ever seen a fisherman go out and his nets are ripped to shreds and there's big rips in them and he's going to throw it out and say, well, let's see how many fish we get gather. There's no fish coming in. All the fish are going to be happy for this fisherman. Oh, we rejoice in such fishermen. A net that does not fulfill its purpose. It cannot. All these rents. But if that net ever gets unified, if that net gets drawn together, if it gets repaired or mended, or as the word is here, perfected or prepared, if it ever gets perfected and gets pulled together as a united net, it's going to bring in the fish. And that's the purpose of the body of Christ. So much division. Everybody doing their own thing. Everybody's thinking as an individual. And we never come to a place as a body prepared to fulfill the will of God. Everybody pulling in different directions. Everybody seeking the will of God over here or over here. And no united heart and mind saying, Lord, what do you want? What do you want in this body? That's why so little gets done in the body of Christ. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. All the New Testament writings, so much of it is about this body that is to be prepared for Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had a physical body prepared by Mary for him. Mary gave him that body. Why? Because of her heart. How did she produce that body? By praying earnestly, by receiving of the eternal purpose of God. She was drawn into a purpose. She just had to be willing. She didn't think this plan up. Well, I think I'm going to be a virgin who gives birth to a man who's going to change the nation. No. The angel comes to her and reveals, I'm going to do something that you cannot do. I want to raise up a body out of this little lady. You know, once in Scotland, I met a couple and the wife was very short, very small. And we start talking, she was up in her late 80s. And she started telling me about all these children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. There was 40 plus of them. I forget how many, it was a crazy amount. And I'm standing looking at this little tiny lady, thinking all of these big grown men have come out of this tiny little frame. What a miracle. Mm-hmm. What a miracle thing. That's naturally looking at this little lady. How did all of this come out of her? Well, I want to tell you, the church is like that. And saints, if you hear what I'm saying this morning, God will do something in this church that hasn't even entered your mind or even entered my heart this morning. God has a purpose in raising up this church, and I want to find it.
Yeah.
I believe God can do such a work in our midst. I believe it, saints of God. I believe it with all my heart that this nation will know the impact. This city will know the impact. We're not playing games. We're not just treading water. Here, give us another meal. We're not doing that, saints. We are a net that's being prepared. We are a church that's being built. We are a body being prepared for something. Now notice here in Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why is he given all this ministry into the church? Why? Saints, why? You need to know why this church exists. You need to know why I'm here preaching. You must understand this. Why am I here preaching week after week? Why am I pouring my heart out? Why am I seeking God from a word for heaven? That I won't be preaching my own thoughts, but I'll find something of the will of God. Why? Why does God do that? Why does God create the church like this? Listen, the very next verse, and underline it with your pen. For the perfecting of the saints. Not word perfecting. What is it? It's kararizo. It's the same word. It is the same thing. Why is those five ministries put in the church? Why are they preaching? Why are they ministering? Why are they running and revealing things that God has shown them? Do you know why? For the perfecting of the saints. It's for the mending of the body. The restoration of the body. A preparation of a body for Christ to live in. Listen to how it goes on. For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with winds of doctrine. That's most of the church in our generation. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's most of the church today. Genuine, real, born again believers who really love Christ, but they're so confused. Or they're running after things and they have no sense of the purpose of God. Or they're not a part, a functioning member of the church of Christ. There's people running all over the place. They're never in the same church 2 weeks running. They've got no revelation of the body of Christ. They're not laboring for the raising up of the church of Jesus Christ. They don't see it. Most of the church is getting tossed to and fro like a little child. They're a little child. It's not until they come to maturity they're ready to minister for God and to fulfill His purpose. God is looking for a mature body. A mature church. A mature people. A prepared people that He can move through. Verse 15, and this is what we should be, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, it maketh increase of the body. It's growing. It's a growing body. The increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Here in Ephesians chapter 4, we see the purpose. God has put five ministries in the church to raise up a body, a mature body, not tossed around by doctrines. Not 1 week you're saved, the next minute you're on your way to hell. Not 1 minute you're in favor with God and the next you're not. God is looking to bring forth a maturity where heresy won't move us, false doctrine won't move us, circumstances. This is what all the labor is for. This word, katartso, it is all through the New Testament, used many times. In Hebrews 13:21, it says, that he'll make you perfect in every good work to do as well. That means you've been perfected, placed in the right place in the body. This isn't talking about just inward maturity. This is talking about the arranging of the whole body. People being set in place and functioning the way they're meant to be. Just like that dislocated limb being put into place. Now you can run. Now you can go and serve God. You better not go try serving God with a dislocated limb. You better not. There's going to be a lot of tears and a lot of pain. Listen to what it says in 1 Corinthians. I really want you to bring you this. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10. Very important verse. This scripture has rolled with me all of this week. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren. The word beseech is where we began this series. Exhort. Paul is exhorting them. He's encouraging them. He's wanting to take them further. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this, that ye all speak the same thing. Oh, we don't believe that. Most of the church don't believe that's possible. But Paul certainly did. He is encouraging the Corinthians that ye may all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you. But that ye be, notice this next word, underline it, perfectly joined together. That's our word. A prepared body. The five ministries put in the body for the perfecting of the church are the saints. And here is the same word again, to be perfectly joined together. Don't let there be any divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. It means quarrels, wrangling, debate, strife. Here's Paul writing them saying, I've heard about you, your debates, your arguing, your squabbling. Do you know what? You've forgotten there is a purpose. You're wrangling over the most foolish of things or some point of doctrine. Or I think the church should be run like this. Or I think you should do this and you should be that. And all this wrangling. And it's sidetracked from God's eternal purpose. What is his eternal purpose? It's the raising up of a body. It's the functioning of a body together. Now God can move. He's got himself a body that he can really use. I want to point out to you before we close this message, three things from this verse. Three things. It says that ye all speak the same thing, number one. In the same mind, number two. And in the same judgment, number three. I believe this perfecting work of being brought to a point involves these three things. To get us away from the wrangling and the quarrels and the debates that cover the body of Christ. Isn't the church covered with it? It's filled with it. Do a Google search on anything, they're squabbling. Best not to Google on doctrinal matters. Stick to your Bible. You hear 10,000 different opinions from 100 men. Work that one out. Doesn't work. Mathematics doesn't work. But you'll find that. They'll squabble over anything. Do you know what? They're blind to the body of Christ. They don't know God has a plan to raise up a body to live through. They don't know it. They're running about as individual, dysfunctioning Christians. Not related rightly to the head. Oh yes, they're born again by God's grace, but they're doing their own thing. Fighting, squabbling, arguing. We need a body united. We need a body to come together with these three things. First of all, that ye all speak the same thing. It's the Greek word Lego. Do you ever have Lego when you were young? I had Lego. You younger ones don't know what Lego is, probably. Or I think it's made a comeback. What is Lego? It's those little bricks where you lay it forth systematically and you get little plans. And you get this is how you build the house. And you lay out all your bricks. That's Lego bricks. You used to love it as a kid. There was nothing better. They say it sells for a fortune on eBay now if you have any old Lego. I need to go get mine out. But here it is, the word Lego. Listen to what it means. Because Paul says, I want you to speak the same thing. And saying to God this morning, I want you to speak the same thing. I want a church in this city that speaks the same thing. Is it possible? Oh yes. You listen to me carefully and I'll show you a church speaking the same thing. Anything else isn't God's will. God's will is that this church speaks the same thing. What does the word Lego mean? It means to lay forth. It means systematic teaching. It means to affirm or maintain the same thing. It means that we all hold the same doctrine. We believe the same in the baptism and the Holy Ghost. We believe the same in holiness. We believe the same in what the church is meant to believe. We believe the same about the cross and the blood. We believe the same about evangelism and the Great Commission. That's what we're taught about, speaking the same thing. It doesn't mean we don't have some disagreement along the way. We're speaking the same thing. We hold to the same doctrine. There is a oneness. He says, speak the same thing. That's speaking about us being joined together. We're taught about a body being brought to perfection that he can use. A church that's divided on its doctrine will never stand. Never. We need a united front in this church. You don't understand something? Let's sit down with the Word of God. Do you know what? If I'm wrong, I'm going to change. And do you know what I expect? If you're wrong, I expect you to change. If you're rightly related to the head, let us all conform to the head. This isn't about us. If it's about your opinion and my opinion, then we're squabbling and we know nothing of the body of Christ. We're not interested in the body. You're just living as a dysfunctional member of the body. But you don't know about the united body of Christ. You have no revelation. And Paul is saying here, oh you Corinthians, I hear from the house of Chloe, you're arguing and debating and quarreling. You quarrel over breakfast and then come into church, praise you Lord. And you think that's maturity. No, you're yet children. You're babes. Don't care how much you have. You're yet a child in Christ. You need to grow up. You need to mature. To be arguing over whether to put milk in the cornflakes or not. And then to be coming into the house of God as if you're fine. There's something wrong. Grow up. If that's where your focus is, why pray for revival in the nation? Since we need to grow up. Listen to what it says in Deuteronomy 4 and 2. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish or take away from aught that I say, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God that I command you. What's he saying? This doctrine of speaking the same thing. Saints, don't add to it. Don't take away from this Bible. Don't you dare sit there in this church and try to diminish anything of it. And don't you dare add anything to it. If it doesn't say it in here, why share it in our fellowship time? We so easily get caught up. And you know, can I encourage you? And I know it's good to go and watch all the exposés on those men. Do you know what? Until you're seeing miracles happen, why bother? Have you seen the sick healed? Have you laid hands on the sick? Do you even ask to pray for the sick? Very easy to criticize the mess out there. But saints, we need to go somewhere. And if we're only caught up with what's false, what's wrong, what's not right, you'll never get there. Never. We need faith in our hearts. We need to encourage one another. Brother, I've got a message. I'll set your heart on fire. That's got to come forth. Brother, I've got a message that'll inspire you and show you a revelation in the body of Christ. Brother, I've got a message that'll open up the truth of walking in the cross. We so easily pull each other in different directions. Pull each other to the cross. Pull each other to the blood. For the next 6 months, don't pull anyone in any other direction than to the blood. Brother, I want to speak to you about the blood. I've been studying last night. Do you know what? This scripture, I was reading on holiness. I'm so hungry for holiness. This is what it means to speak the same thing. Secondly, Paul says, be of the same mind. Is that possible in the body of Christ? Oh, well, sure, we've never seen it. Sure, look at them all arguing. Impossible. Was it impossible for Mary to become pregnant and to bring forth a body that would change the nation? Was that impossible? Yes, with man. Secondly, Paul says the same mind. It's the word nous. It means your intellect, your mind, or your process of thinking. It actually means those thoughts that are uppermost in your mind. Those thoughts that dominate, they're your best thoughts, are the thoughts that you go after. It says in Romans 15 and 5, now the God of patience and consolation, needed patience, grant you to be like-minded one toward the other. In chapter 15, 6, it says that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here we have Paul saying, with one mind and one mouth glorifying God the Father. This is the body of Christ. One mouth. Since we can have one mouth in this church, we can. We can have one mind in this church. We, our uppermost thought, we're thinking the same. Never seen two people think differently. They're pulling two different directions. I just don't agree with that. You ever been with someone you're telling and it's pouring out of your heart and you love the Lord and you want the things of God and you suddenly go, they don't believe anything I'm saying. They don't believe a word. I met people along the way, thank God not here.
Amen.
But I've met people, not of the same mind, but the body of Christ. Tell me, saints, if you're rightly joined to God, thinking His thoughts, having your mind renewed by the Word of God, desiring to think the thoughts of God, are you going to think the same as me? Is there going to come a similarity? The more you press after Christ, the more there's going to be a thinking that's the same. Now again, it's not that we disagree on something. Or there's practical things. Well, I like the door open. Well, you like it closed. I think it should be hotter in here. Well, she thinks it should be colder. I'm not talking about that. There are differences in these minds. I'm talking about thinking the thoughts of God. I'm talking about a biblical mind, a renewed mind. Paul says in Philippians 1:27 that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Can we do that? With one spirit and one mind in here. Let's strive for the real faith. Let's strive to make this church a real church, a biblical church, a Bible-based church, a spirit-filled church. Can we be of one mind in that? Do you all want that?
Yes.
Do you all want that?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Are we of one heart then? It's not complicated. We're not talking about arguing over silly doctrines. We're saying we're united. I want a real church in this city. I want a spirit-filled church in this city. I have a desire. I'm thinking the thoughts of God. I want a revival in this city. I want to see souls saved in this city. We're thinking the same way. No longer pulling against each other, but striving towards this with all of our might and our mind. Paul also says in chapter 2:2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Again in chapter 3:16, nevertheless whereunto ye have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. What is a rule? It's something that's set down to draw a clear line, to draw a straight line or to draw a boundary. So he says, let us all walk according to the same rule. What is the rule? It's the doctrine of God. It's the truth that we believe. It's the things that are written in the Bible. Let us mind the same thing. Let us have the same thinking on the rule of God. Be of the same mind towards one another. Romans 12:16. All of it's there. Thirdly, he says, the same judgment. Noumē. It means opinion, purpose, intention, resolve. Can we be of the same judgment? Do you realize the Spirit of God is bringing us in this church? He desires it in every church. But most people don't even realize that God wants to bring them all in the church to the same judgment, the same opinion, the same purpose. When you judge a thing, you weigh it. And you come to a place of absolute persuasion. I have an opinion on this. I have a purpose. I have an intention. I am resolved. That's what it means to be of the same judgment. I am absolutely resolved. We're not going to let the flesh in here. I'm absolutely resolved that hell isn't going to have its way in this church. I'm absolutely resolved that we're going to go all out for God. Saints, that we would come to the same judgment. Well, I think it's okay to be worldly. I think it's okay for a wife not to be a Bible wife. I know the Bible says it, but we don't really believe that. What a man is meant to be, a young man in the church. Well, I don't really believe that. In fact, I've never studied it. Heard it preached, never bothered studying it. Do you hear what I'm saying? All these things are there. The rule is there. The doctrine is there. We're to conform to it. And what this judgment is, we come to a resolution, a full persuasion, a conviction. In other words, these are your convictions. We have come to the same judgment. It isn't right that a church, in a church, everybody has different judgments. Well, I think this and you think that. Well, let's just let everybody think their own. You listen to Benny Hinn if you want to listen to Benny Hinn. Or if you want to listen to Frank Viola, you do that. But I'm going to listen to B.H. Clendenin. You're yet carnal. Let us come to the Word of God. Let us be of the same judgment and of the same mind. And of the same, speaking the same thing. We have one voice, saints. Do you realize the power of coming together like that? We hold the same convictions. You know, people out there, they'll say, that's wrong. That's unbiblical. It's more spiritual that everybody in the church has different convictions, says different things, goes in different directions. Okay, so that's what you see the body of Christ as. God help us. Do you know, in the early church, Chapter 1 of Acts, chapter 2 of Acts, chapter 4 of Acts, chapter 5 of Acts. It uses an interesting word, one accord. It's a musical term. It means everybody together in the same place at the same time, unanimously bringing forth a song in harmony together. Yet different people are playing different notes, but it harmonizes. It's all the members of the body uniquely operating in their own place, but together they harmonize. You are different from me. I am different from you. We are different from each other. But saints, when we're brought together, speaking the same thing, with the same mind, with the same judgment, there is one accord. There's a beautiful harmony. You're playing the white keys, I'm playing the black ones. And it harmonizes in music. Some of those notes by itself, ding, 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 ding. Horrible. 5 minutes and you'll be screaming. Ding, 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 ding. Ever see a kid? Do, 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 do. Drive you crazy. But let the right fingers on there. Using all those same notes. And it beautifully harmonizes together to bring forth a beautiful sound. That's what the early church had. They were of one accord in their prayer, one accord in their preaching, one accord in their fellowship. They were harmonizing. They weren't living for themselves. They weren't independent. They were unified in the same place at the same time. It says in Acts 4:32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Do we believe that we can spiritually have one heart and one soul? We're talking about a church that had tens of thousands of people in it. We're talking about overnight 3,000 people being added to the church. And then 5,000 more being added to the church. But they were all of one heart, new converts. Sinners coming in from a life of degradation. And overnight they have the same heart. That's the work of the Spirit of God. That is not natural. That is not normal. In the city of Jerusalem, a great church was raised up overnight. Just as supernaturally as the body prepared in the womb of Mary. A church was raised up first of 120. And they're one heart and one soul. And they want to do the will of God. They have the same conviction, speaking the same thing. Oh yes, it won't be long until the enemy comes in to sidetrack it. But now in these 7 years, they're going to do the will of God. They are the first church. Do you realize every church in the New Testament was raised up for a purpose? They were prepared for a purpose. The church of Jerusalem prepared to initiate the work of God and to carry the gospel to the ends of the world. Here is a church. It's the first church. God ordained this body. God prepared it. Where did he start with 12? Where did he find them? Peter's denying Christ. The rest have ran off. John seen him running that way. He tried to get close, but he ran away naked. They grabbed his coat. They're all gone. Denying him, sleeping in prayer meetings. Not understanding the cross. arguing over who's the greatest. God's got himself an embryo. It's not all that it's going to be, but God is preparing a body. Christ says, I am going to make this my body. These 12 men, I haven't thrown Peter away. I don't throw the clay away. I take it and remold it. I do it over again. And I'm going to make these men function together. Peter with John. Remember he said, Peter says to Jesus, see John, what about him? What's he going to do? Jesus, never you mind. You get on with your own business, Snoopy. Don't you worry about him. You've got enough in your hands, Peter. You've got an awful lot to sort out. Don't you bother with John. Book Acts chapter 3. Peter and John are on their way to a prayer meeting to heal a lame man. Something happens, saints, in those hearts. Peter and John came to the same mind, the same judgment, speaking the same thing. God done that in their hearts. If God can do it in Peter, he can do it in any of us.
Amen.
Not true. What about the church of Antioch, raised up of God to be the first great missionary church? It had a leadership of 5, black and white, different countries, different family backgrounds, different ministries. But that church sent forth Paul and Barnabas to the mission field, the first missionaries to the Gentiles. God raised up that church from normal believers, meeting together. What about Philippi, that church? What I'm telling you is every church is raised up with a divine purpose. When God begins the work, he's got a purpose. He says, there's a work I want to do in it. And there's a work in this church. The church of Philippi may be one of the smallest churches in the New Testament. Remember Paul? All of them went in there preaching the gospel. Silas, young Timothy, Luke was there. All 4 of them. In their preaching, Silas and Paul get thrown in prison. Do you know who got saved there? Lydia and her household, her family. All that household got saved. And do you remember, then the prison warden, he gets saved and his family. This is the first church and they begin to meet in Lydia's home. Baptized in water. Saved, born again by God's grace. It's a new church. Do you realize God had a purpose? It wasn't just saving men from hell. God had a purpose in this church. This was the first church in Europe, Macedonia. It is the first ever church in all of Europe. Just a handful of people, but God's got a divine purpose. He said, this is the first, there's going to be many others. One day this church is going to reach Ireland. But this is the beginning. Do you know this church, Philippi, was Paul's greatest supporter? Paul's greatest supporter. Financially, encouragement-wise. You know what he said? He said, when I get there on that day, the church of Philippi, it's going to be my crown. It's going to be a crown on my head. They're my rejoicing of any church that supported Paul. This church did. Do you know many other great churches, thousands of people saved, never financially supported him. But Philippi did. They loved him. They loved him. Philippi was raised up with a divine purpose. What I'm telling you is this church that we have birthed here, that's been birthed in our midst, there is a divine purpose. There is a reason. We're not just here for fellowship. It's not just for the friendships. It's not just to get us to heaven. It's not just to encourage us so we don't fall away and go into the world or get caught up in sin or get discouraged and throw our hands up. It's not ultimately for that. That's all in the pot, but that is not it. Saints, there is a purpose for this church. God had a reason in his mind in birthing this church. It didn't come out of my mind. It didn't come out of our heart. Did we organize it? No. He had a divine purpose to raise up a body. And if he can raise up a body, he's going to come and use it for a reason. Let me close with this short testimony. There was a movement, a revival movement called the Moravians. Through them, John Wesley got born again. Through them, many nations were reached with the gospel. How did they begin? They began in a small community called Herrnhut in the east of Germany in 1722. There were a group of believers, a couple of hundred believers gathered in and began to meet together in the church. Before long, they couldn't agree, so they split and met in 2 different churches. After a period of deep dispute amongst them all, which almost led to the separation and scattering of the whole community, they entered a period of deep heart searching. A man of God there began to preach the word and deal with sin and call them to unity of heart. And the Lord began to deal with deep conviction for 3 months in their hearts. They were going to get scattered. If you read the testimony of this, you'll go, it's impossible that these people stay together. They're so radically of different judgment, speaking the different things, not of the same mind, yet born again believers. It's impossible. They were going to get scattered in every direction. But this man of God began to preach and began to deal with their hearts. And he began to bring them back to the foundation of sound doctrine. Do you know what happened? They met together on the 13th of August, 1727. 5 years after they began to meet. They couldn't live together. Never work. They didn't like each other. They didn't want to be together. But on the 13th of August, 1727, the man of God gathered them for one last communion service. They're going to break bread, remember the death of Christ, and go their separate ways. But in that meeting, the Spirit of God moved. The Holy Spirit was outpoured upon them in that gathering. Revival began in that meeting. Since they were about to go in every direction, it was impossible. Nothing but a divisive bunch of no goods. None of them great in the eyes of the world. But revival came many miles away. Two men on horses that were a part of that community. As revival came down in that church building on the gathered saints. All those miles away, the Spirit of God fell on the two of them. They got off their horses and fell down on their faces, began to cry to God. Revival had come. The Spirit of God had moved out of such an impossible environment. They immediately began to send missionaries out. They sent 29 missionaries out immediately. 22 of them were killed. But for every one of them that was killed, they sent another 2 missionaries. You see, since they'd come to a judgment, God has raised this church up to be an evangelist to all the world. This small community, this small church is going to evangelize the whole world. Anybody could have called them crazy, but they had a relationship with God. There was a fire burning in their hearts. For the next 30 years they sent out 300 missionaries. Their church never grew bigger than 600 people. But they sent 300 missionaries. For every 10 people in the church, 3 went as missionaries. Do you know what? 3 is have to go. 10 of yous now. We need to send 3 missionaries out there. And we'll support you in prayer and finances. That's what that church done. Never grew bigger than 600. But for every missionary and every 2 people in the church, there was a missionary in some foreign country. They were backed by a 24-hour prayer watch. 24 hours a day. It lasted for 100 years. Somebody was always in the prayer room praying. They chose our lot. I'll go Tuesday night from 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. I'll be in there praying. I'll be up praying. That's my night every week for the rest of my days until I die. That is my spot allotted. And they prayed that whole community, men, women, children, old people, praying round the clock. 100 years. And for 30 years they sent those missionaries everywhere. One of those young men says, went to Count Zindendorf. Count, I've got a call to South America, but I can't go. What do you need? Pair of shoes, I don't have any, only bare feet. He says, I'll buy you the shoes, will you go? Yes. He bought him a pair of shoes and he began to walk. Most of those missionaries walked, took them years to get to the mission field. 2 of them, down in Barbados I think it was, they couldn't get in there to evangelize. Do you know what they done? They couldn't get in there, weren't allowed in there. They stood on the slave stone. In the slave market. And they sold themselves to the highest bidder. They sold themselves into slavery. Because they knew they'd get carried in there as a slave. Live and work for the rest of their days as a slave. But they'll get the gospel in, and they did. Do you know what their symbol was? An altar and an ox. Sacrifice, death. But it was the preparation of a body. What am I telling you? A church in Herrnhuts in the east of Germany. And people that should have got scattered were brought together under the Spirit of God. And to this day they're known and talked about. That church touched the whole world. Never bigger than 600. Never. They carried revival. They were a prayer movement. Saints, what's going to happen in this church? Am I stirring at a desire in you? I hope I am. Saints, I feel it. I believe it. We're here in the divine purpose of God. I don't understand it all. I don't know all we're going to go. But God has a divine purpose. And you need to awaken to it. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about my preaching. God has called us here. And I know it's ridiculous. And I know it's crazy. But there is a divine, eternal plan in God raising up this church. I want to know why. I want to know why. Will you give yourself to this? Can I ask you? Men went and sold themselves into slavery. What are you going to do? Men only needed a pair of shoes and they said, I'll go evangelize South America. You can't even go on the streets here and you've got everything. You've got money, you've got time, you've got ability. Saints, I'm talking about us getting gripped. Will we allow the Spirit of God to grip us and reveal His desire? What does He want from this church? What is going to happen in this church? Life is very short. Candace could have died in that car accident. Many people have died in car accidents. It's real. She would have gone, a life over. No future, no more years, no more weeks. What's your life going to be about? You can either live your own life seeking your own will, or we can be united as a body seeking the cooperate will of God. And oh yes, your will will be fulfilled in that. There is something greater. Can we stand here this morning? We are talking about getting prepared as the body of Christ, perfected, framed, set in place, mended, repaired, a dislocated limb being put back in place, the purpose of God being revealed. Do we have the cry of Mary, that young teenage girl that said, Lord, behold the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be according to your word. Let it be according to your word. I'm tired of my own will. I'm tired of trying to figure it out in my mind. I'm tired of trying to tell you. I'm tired of trying to preempt. Lord, I just want your will. Lord, will you reveal to me your will? Will you do a work in this heart? I am here for you. We're not going to be a dysfunctional church, saints. We're not going to be a church that chases its tails, runs after a pet doctrine, or seeks it for its own glory. We're not going to do that. We're seeking for something greater. To fulfill the glory of God. But to do that, we need to be a body prepared. And you know what? Individually, we'll never do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. But if we allow the Spirit of God to come again amongst us, Herrnhut can be repeated. A church can send missionaries out all over the world. Evangelize this nation or touch a city. I don't know God's purpose. You know, Brother Clendenin, he went to Russia to school. Do you know what he told me? I said, did you know all this would come out of it? He said, no. He says, I thought I was going to live the next 7 years, last 7 years of my life in Russia and die, pour myself into Russia. Never knew it would go to China, or to South America, or around the world, or Ireland. Didn't know it would go into 150 nations of the world. I just thought, just be faithful in Russia. Just go to Russia and it went into all the world. Saints, what will happen with this church if we're just faithful? We don't need to know what we don't know. Just do what you're called to today. Eat your meal on the table. Stop measuring. Stop seeing if you're trying to grow within a period of a week. Just live unto God. And God will raise up something. Father, we just call upon you this morning. Oh God, our hearts are longing, Lord God, for the purpose of God to be revealed in our midst. My God, we know there's got to be something better than we're seeing in the nations. Lord God, we don't dare to lift our hand to create something or to tell you what to do or to give men a new strategy or a new way to do it. We're not of those that are trying to hand you a plan. My God, we're absolutely nothing in your presence. My God, we know what we are. We know our weakness and our inability. We're like Mary. We're like Peter. My God, we're absolutely no different with weaknesses and fears and doubts and battles and concerns and questions. But my God, we do want to be a body for you. My God, you've done it in Jerusalem. You've done it in Antioch. You've done it in Philippi. And we've never stopped talking about these churches. You've done it in Arabia. You've done it in a thousand, ten thousands of thousands of churches. Their history, their testimony has left to us that church obeyed God and it left a testimony in the earth. Oh God, I pray for your grace. My God, move in every heart. Make us bond slaves. My God, move in every member of this body. My God, prepare us. We're not the finished product. But my God, we want to be a church made ready for a revival, for a missionary revival. My God, I pray for the revealing of your heart and your desire. My God, we need you to move individually upon us. We are weak clay vessels, but my God, we do want your will. It's all about you. It's all about Christ. We want to give ourselves. We want to come in the volume of the book. We want to be a living sacrifice. We want the spirit of revival to grip our heart. I pray every heart will gain a vision for what you want to do in this church. I pray we'll pray with one desire, with one longing, with one burden. My God, that we're going to give ourselves, Lord God, not for our own desires, nor the fulfilling of our own ambitions, but my God, we'll lay down our life that Jesus Christ will get his way in this city, in this earth, or in this nation. In the name of Jesus, we glorify you. Oh my God, help us this morning. Oh, help us this morning. Help us, my God. Oh, do not pass us by. My God, we will...